Well, first of all, before I start my message, I do want to talk about this weekend. You know, some people think Memorial Day weekend just as the beginning of summer, time to go out and go to the lake. Obviously, by looking at attendance, I mean, some people are on vacation. They're out at the lake, or they're out having fun, or whatever. But you know what? This isn't just a three-day weekend to promote the summer. This is a time to remember the men and women that have given their life so that we could live freely. You know, Jesus tells us, and yeah, you can go ahead and give them a hand. Amen. You know, we want to thank those families that have sacrificed your loved ones so that we could be free. You know, like I said, Jesus tells us in John 15:13, there is no greater love than to lay down one life for one's friend. You know, obviously the ultimate sacrifice is to give your life. And I am thankful that we can have freedom here in America. And I know that there is probably a lot wrong with this country, but I tell you what, we are the most freest country in the world, you know, and thank God that there have been men and women that have given their life, that have shed their blood so that we could might be free. And obviously, you know, that I know transitions to Jesus Christ gave his life so we can be free, not only here, but also in the world to come, you know, one fine day. Amen. I was going to minister today on Memorial Day and some kind of Memorial Day sermon, but I actually just really in my heart just felt led to go a little different direction. I do want to say that we need to continue to pray for the families there in Uvalde, Texas that lost some, they lost children, grandchildren, you know, wives, some, you know, it, and a tragic story about that one gentleman who died of a heart attack after his wife had died. You know, I mean, you know, obviously he died of a broken heart. I mean, it's just sad, and we need to continue to pray for those people. You know, I know many people have many questions, but you know what? It doesn't really matter, you know, the question why, how, when it, what matters is that the devil is a bad dude. And the devil's there to steal, kill, and destroy, you know. And not only that, it just promotes fear. I know, obviously, schools around here were not in session anymore, but you know, there were reports of around the country, kids were afraid to go to school the next day, you know. And it's just sad. It's just sad how there is so much peddling of fear all over America. Now I get it. I mean, some situation like that, I mean, you know, they rightfully so. I can understand why a child would not want to go to school. But I mean, just other things, you know, like monkeypox. I know it sounds funny, but here's the deal. My granddaughter on Friday night, they were going to go to the zoo on Saturday. And I believe this because she's going to the zoo. Is when she asked a question. She says, what's monkeypox all about? I think it's because she wanted to make sure when she went to see the monkeys at the zoo, she wasn't going to get a disease. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, I want to say ahead of time, I'm not going to get monkeypox. Monkeypox cannot live in my body. All right. Neither can any kind of other disease. And so that brings me to what I'm going to talk about today, and actually this really comes from my mom, because my last time I spoke was Mother's Day. Many of you know that. And I said a lot of things that my mom had taught me. And my mom actually, she was telling me how I did a good job. And she said, well, the one thing you didn't tell everybody was how I taught you the 91st Psalm. Well, I was going to wait till the next Mother's Day to actually share that. But I believe because of fear and because of all these things, I believe that today is a good day to talk about the 91st Psalm, because my mom gave me, you know, when I was a kid, when I was a young kid, we talked about the 91st Psalm. And for me, that was my protection. That was my protection scripture. And I'm going to tell you that each and every day I claim the 91st Psalm over my life and all my family's life, because you know what? God has promised us his protection in the 91st Psalm. And I believe that every person in this room needs to know what it says. I believe that every person should teach their children and grandchildren what it says, because you know what? It's important to know where it's found in the Bible. And it's important to know exactly what it says. My grandfather always says, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. And the 91st Psalm answers many questions for me, how God is going to protect me when everybody else is falling apart. And to give you a little story about the 91st Psalm, like I said, my mom taught me at a young age the 91st Psalm. And when I was about 10 years old, I was playing in the backyard, actually jumping on the trampoline. We had a trampoline in the backyard. Me and one of my good friends, Michael. Michael lived behind me. In fact, we actually put a gate in the fence so that way Michael, we could go over to each other's house or whatever. Michael's family didn't really go to church that much, and probably he didn't know much about the 91st Psalm or anything. But so my mom one day said, like I said, I probably was 10, maybe 11. I'm not sure about the age. You know, my grandfather would always remember the date and all this kind of stuff. I don't remember all that kind of stuff. I was like 10 or 11, all right? So all I remembered was my mom told me, she came out and said, hey, I need to go to the grocery store, which is about 3 blocks away. I don't know where my sister was. Maybe she went to the grocery store with my mom. I don't know. I just don't know where she was. I was busy playing in the backyard. And so, do you want to go? And I'm like, no, we don't want to go. So she goes, okay, well, I'm going to be gone for like an hour or so. Now, you have to understand that some of you that are my age understand this. You know, we didn't have cell phones. All right, we had no way to communicate. And in fact, I was really good about not staying home. I would take my bicycle and go to my friends. I mean, I would, you know, usually the only time I was at home was to eat. You know, and it was not uncommon. I might eat lunch, or sometimes I didn't eat lunch. I eat lunch over at my friend's house. You know, and I would take off for the rest of the day. And my parents had no clue where I was. In fact, if you want to find me, you would like call like 4 or 5 of my friend's house on their normal phone in their house that rings. All right. Some of you might, I have a normal phone in my house and mine doesn't ring much. It used to ring a lot because telemarketers called, so I unplugged it. So I have a phone that doesn't even ring because it's just sitting there and I'm still paying for the line because it comes with my cable TV package. So, so it is what it is. I'm like, I don't need a phone. They're like, well, it's cheaper just to add the phone there. I'm like, okay, so I have a phone. But so here I was. My mom says, well, I'm going to leave you by yourself. And so she did. I mean, the store was only a few blocks away. Skaggs Albertson was the name of the store. And so now, see, the other side about it is used to anytime I went to the grocery store with my mom, she would buy me a Hot Wheels car, you know, because it was like a bribe. And it was only like, you know, it was less than a dollar back then, so it was a pretty cheap bribe, you know, because they had them at Skaggs. So anyway, but she left, and so she goes, I'm going to lock the front door, and so she did. So we're playing in the backyard, jumping on the trampoline, and it was hot, so we went inside to get something to drink. I was going to say water, but it probably was Coke, because I drank, you know, it wasn't water, I guarantee you. I drink water now, but at the time I drank pop, it was either Coke or Dr. Pepper. I will say that, just to full disclosure. So we walked inside, and when we walked inside the house, there was somebody that was like beating. I mean, they weren't knocking; they were like beating on our door. And at that time, you got to understand, we're talking about the 70s here. All right, I mean, some of the clothes my mom dressed me in, I'm like, I can't believe you had, I'm wearing those green pants, green bell-bottom pants on that weird shirt and things like that. And people thought it was cool. But, the great thing about it, people think it's cool now again, I guess. I don't know. But so in the 70s, we had next to our front, we had an actual wood door, thank God. Now, we had a lot of times that wood door would be open, and we had like a little glass door screen door type thing. But next to the door, we had these stained glass windows. I believe they were, you know, some kind of shade of yellow, because that was cool back in the 70s. So you really couldn't see exactly. It was kind of like, you know, you could see that there was somebody out there, but couldn't see. So I have no clue what this guy's doing. But as soon as I walked in the house and I could, because the back door and the front door were basically, like when you walk in the back door, you could see the front door. And I could see this, and he was like pounding on the door. And so instantly fear hit me. I mean, that was the first thing that happens because, you know, I'm by myself. You know, I don't know what a cell phone is, because that didn't exist at the time, all right? So my parents aren't there. I think my dad was on the road somewhere traveling. So the only thing I knew to do was I went over to the bookshelf and grabbed the King James Bible and opened it up to Psalms 91. And I told Michael, I said, I'm going to read this. And so I just read him the 91st Psalm. We didn't pray. We just read. I didn't know what else to do. And I will say, by the time we finished the 16th, there's 16 verses in the 91st Psalm. By the time we finished the 16th verse, the guy went away. Now, I don't know what he was doing. Maybe his car broke down and he was, I don't know. I don't know if he meant any harm to us or not. I just know that when I didn't know what to do, I knew the 91st Psalm protected me. And so my mom, like I said, she taught me the 91st Psalm, and I'm going to read it here from the New Living Translation, and then we're going to talk about it. It says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord: He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. I tell you what, if you just read this 91st Psalm, it makes you feel better. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on around about you. But you know what? Our God says He will protect us from everything. Everything that goes on around about us. If we let Him, all we have to do is call upon Him. You know, and so I was just doing some, you know, just looking at this 91st Psalm. I noticed a couple of things. First of all, it's the 91st Psalm. Obviously, there's 16 verses here. And it's basically broken down into two sections. The first being verses 1 through 8, the second being 9 through 16, pretty obvious. The first two verses of both segments of verses 1 and 2 and 9 and 10 carry a very similar thought, reminding us and reiterating that God's protection rests on His children. You know, so, I mean, God protects us. If we're His children, Now, how many are sons of God or daughters of God? Amen. We are children of God. So this belongs to us. This is a promise that belongs to us. So, you know, when we look at the first four verses, I'm going to read those first four verses. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. So in these four verses here, it tells us seven powerful symbols of God's protection. Seven powerful symbols in four verses. In four verses, it tells us seven symbols how God protects us. Symbol number one, first of all, is his shelter. Now, a shelter, according to a dictionary, Webster's dictionary, it says something that covers or affords protection. Now, obviously, here in Oklahoma, the biggest shelter we hear of is tornado shelters. I do not have one in my house because I don't want to pay for one. I have 91st Psalm, okay? My wife many times has said, Craig, we should buy a tornado shelter. I'm like, nah, I got the word. Now, if you want to have a shelter, that's fine, all right? But, you know, the thing is that, you know, you hear about, I don't hear about these as much, but I know my mom talked about growing up, you know, you hear about bomb shelters. Now, I do know some people that are trying to build bomb shelters because they're afraid of the apocalypse or whatever, but, and I know some people that are storing up food. Maybe it's a good idea because, you know, I go to Walmart and can't find all kinds of stuff. And so I actually thought about storing up my food myself, but I heard of one of my friends, supposedly, I don't know if this is true or not, he has a lot of money. Supposedly, he said he's going to buy $30,000 worth of food. So I'm like, why should I go buy food? I'm just going to go get some from him. Why spend my good money? But I will say this same guy still has food left over from Y2K. So just want to throw that out there. It's probably still good, you know. I mean, you know, whatever that freeze-dried stuff is. But I don't know. But what's more awesome than a tornado shelter or a bomb shelter? It's God's shelter. Amen. And so sometimes, you know, when we're thinking about shelter, we're thinking about, man, we need to seek protection. But you know what? We should seek protection from the Almighty God. You know, in fact, I trust God's shelter more than I do my tornado shelter. Like I said, I don't have one. So anyway, my parents only live like 5 blocks away. And they don't have a tornado shelter, but they have a basement, which is very unusual in Oklahoma to have a basement, but they have an underground room. So, you know, and not only have an underground room, they actually have a safe in their underground room. So if you really want to be safe, you can go in the safe underground. But I just want to go on record, full disclosure, I've never seek shelter at their house ever, even when a tornado's coming. All right, another thing it talks about is his shadow. You know, a shadow is similar to shade that protects from the blazing sun or the torrential rain. You know, his shadow overtakes us. You know, another verse talked about shadow is Peter's shadow fell upon people and they got healed. You know, his shadow is better than our shadow. Our shadow is just a darkness, but his shadow is light and protection all around about us. Another thing it talks about is a refuge. The dictionary describes a refuge as a person or thing that prevents someone or something from suffering harm or injury. Our God is our refuge. He's going to protect us from injury, you know, no matter what's going on about us. Then it talks about a fortress. A fortress obviously provides protection to a city, all right, not just you. Then it talks about his wings, resembling the tenderness on which a mother bird protects her offspring. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, seen, you know, whatever, you know, these the little chicklings or whatever you call them, you know, they get scared and they go underneath the wings of the mother. and until they kick them out of the nest. But, our God wants to cover us and provide shelter for us. Another thing it talks about in the King James, or New King James, it says a shield. It changes in here to armor. So armor or shield. And we know what a shield is. Obviously, we have the shield of faith on top of the building. A shield is used in times of war, and which can be used now when the enemy fires darts at us, whether they're physical darts or spiritual darts. You know what? We have our shield, or we have our armor of protection. In fact, the New Testament tells us to put our armor on at all times. All right. And then, the last thing is protection. Protection is a person or thing that prevents someone or something from suffering harm or injury. So you know what? Our God is our protection. And our God will protect us at all times. Now, it talks about in the 91st Psalm about two different kinds of threats. All right? Verses 3 and 5 and 6, and we're going to read those. Verse 3 says this. It says, "For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease." Going on to verses 5 and 6 says, "Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday." So the two threats that we face in life are the threat from enemies. He talks about a fowler's snare or arrows, in the Bible. And the terror of deadly disease or epidemics, which the King James says calls them pestilences and plagues. All right? And so I'm here to tell you that we're going to have more diseases. I guess the newest thing is monkeypox. All right? Diseases are coming. All right? And we have protection against not only diseases, but protection against other harms, whether it be physical harm, Or whether it be an attack from the devil, in whatever way. All right? Now here again also it says, we are assured that once again of God's protection at all times of the day. The Bible talks about, it refers to words like night, day, darkness, and midday. So 24/7, 365, we have protection from any kind of thing that comes. Whether it be a physical dart, or in our case, a bullet, or whether it be some kind of disease that tries to spread to all mankind. And the Bible is clear. If you read Matthew 24, talks about in the last days, it actually uses the word pestilence, and it says pestilences when it talks about wars and rumors of wars and all these things. Another thing, in famines and floods, it also uses the word pestilences, which is epidemics. All right, so, I know we don't really like it when things come around like monkeypox, but what? We can either get destroyed by them or come against them. And like I said, the 91st Psalm is something that I claim every day. Now, especially if we're going to engage in some activity, a dangerous activity, I don't know if it's dangerous, but, every time that we take a road trip, especially now, it should be any time to get in the car. Well, I always claim the 91st Psalm over us as we travel. Every time that my son buckles up in his race car, obviously that's a dangerous activity, we always claim the 91st Psalm over him. We pray a prayer. I say it all day long, claim the 91st Psalm. Half the time, whenever I pray over my food, I claim the 91st Psalm. And I'm not trying to say that someone's putting stuff in my food, okay, or whatever. I just like claiming the 91st Psalm because I love what it says about, about me, about how my God is protecting me from everything. Everything. Because my God is a good God. And sometimes when we say our God is a good God, but we need to understand our God is a good God. And you know what? The thing is, in our heart, we can either have faith or fear. All right? And the 91st Psalm helps me have faith when everybody else is having fear. And sometimes there is a time that sometimes we have to turn the news off. You know, there are some times when it's just talking about fear and fear and fear and fear and fear. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't empathize for people that are going through a situation. But I mean, I know, I was watching a lot of the news things about the, the shooting or whatever. And, I just had it playing all. Finally, actually, I turned it off and started watching something else. I do pray for the families. But you know what? I don't need to 24/7, start thinking about fear. And also, too, is, if you have little ones in your house, I don't want them to think about fear. And because a lot of times you don't realize that the little ones are listening. And especially in a situation like that, all right? And so, but the perception is further emphasized in verse number 7. When it talks about this, verse number 7, it says, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Now, every time I hear, I think about the MC Hammer song, Can't Touch This. All right. And I'm not going to do the MC Hammer dance for some of you that I got skinny jeans. I don't have balloon pants on, so it wouldn't matter anyway. And I can't dance. So that wouldn't even be stupider. So the point is that the devil can't touch this. Why? Because I'm protected by the 91st Psalm. I have 7 things that God laid out in 4 verses. How he's protecting me. So you know what? When you lay out 7 things in 4 verses, he's trying to emphasize that he is your protector. And every kind of protection all around about you, your shelter, your shield, your armor, your protection, your fortress, all these things, he's your refuge. You know, it needs to be ingrained in us. You know, that my mom ingrained this, these scriptures in my life. We probably read this every day for a long time. I don't have to read it because I know it. I know what the Bible says. That's the thing about it is, it's one thing to read the word, another thing to know the word. See, the reason you have to know the word is because you don't always have a Bible right there to read when you're going through a perilous time. But if you know what the scripture says, then you can quote the scripture. You can tell the devil what the scripture says. You remember whenever Jesus was tempted, what did he say? It is written. He knew the word, and you should know the word. In fact, my grandfather says the number one reason why people, people get sick or people is because they don't know the words. They don't know how to come against it. Well, I'm here to tell you that I just gave you 7 words in 4 verses, how God wants to protect you. Now, verses 9 and 10, they correspond with verses 1 and 2. So it says, verses 9, it says, I don't have the New Living Translation in a regular Bible, so I got to be multitasking here. All right, it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. Now, notice right there, it says, if. It says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, you need to remind God, hey, you're my refuge, you're my shelter. And you know what? No evil, no monkeypox, no other sickness, no other disease, no other terror is gonna come near me. Why? Because I said so, and because God said he's gonna protect me in his word. And so then after that, it talks about the protection is further emphasized through the holy angels. All right. And so right here, I love this. It says, a New International Bible Commentary says, God's tender care is such that he even supplies a celestial bodyguard around the believer who carry him along the rock-strewn road. All right. So we have a celestial bodyguard around about us. Whether you see the bodyguard or not, And I'm not talking about the movie, okay? I'm talking about real bodyguards. You know, you see important people, when they walk in with bodyguards, but I'm telling you what, your bodyguards, you know, they're not just armed with some kind of weapon. They're armed with God's power and authority. Now, we don't see our bodyguards, but, you know, they're still there. All right? And so verse 11 says, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hand so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Now, I told the church, one time I was preaching, I forget sometimes, but when I was preaching up in Michigan this year, it was August of last year, and a lady while I was preaching, she saw two angels next to me, and they were from the bottom to the top, which is about 20 or 30 feet. I'm not sure how big the place was, or, you know, it was a high ceiling. And so this lady asked God, what are those? He goes, "Oh, that's Craig's angels." So I know I have 30-foot angels around about me. Now, I probably need them, okay? You know, I don't know what your angels look like, but I know I got big ones. Now, the thing about it is, you know, we should be reminded that we have bodyguards around about us protecting us, helping us in every tragic situation, you know? And it says right here, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." That's why I come to 91st Psalm on me every day. Everywhere I go, my angels are protecting me. Everywhere I go. All right? And it says, "So you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." That means I won't even stub my toe. All right? And then it goes on to say, "You will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet." Now, you know, it's interesting because verse 13 here of Psalm 91 says, "Brings up the challenge of wild beasts," reflecting the imagery of the ferocity of a lion and the poison of a cobra. This is illustrated again in verse 13, a reference to a great lion and serpent. It's there to remind ourselves that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Now, see, he's seeking for someone to devour because if you don't know who your protector is and if you don't call upon him, then he's going to devour you. All right, but it also, in Genesis 3, Satan came to Adam and Eve as a serpent. And so it talks about lions and serpents here. But also we need to remember that we're assured of the victory. We can tread or trample as we resist him. So we can tread on the serpents. We can trample over the lions. We can resist the devil and he will flee from us. That's what the Bible says. And so you know what? When those things and situations come our way, the serpents and the lions come our way, we need to say, you have no right. You have no authority. You know, it doesn't matter if you're attacking everybody else. You're not going to attack me. We're guarded. My bodyguards are around about me. My refuge, my shelter. I mean, you know, God is protecting me. And then the last three verses, God's blessings are proclaimed upon the people. Eight such blessings are assured for those who love the Lord. So let's read the last three verses here. So it says, "The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation." So verse 14, acknowledge his name. Verse 14, and you call upon on him. Verse 15. So here's the eight things. Verse 14 says, "I will rescue them." It also says, "I will protect them. I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble." In any kind of situation, he's there with you. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us in any kind of time of trouble. You're never alone when you're with Jesus, all right? It says, I will deliver them. I will honor them. But this is one of my favorites. It says, with long life, I will satisfy them. Well, I tell you what, if you're going to die today, you're not going to have long life. See, I thank God for long life. The Bible promised me a long life. If you know, and it goes on to say, I will show them my salvation. So you know what? God wants to protect us. Now, but one thing I brought up on Wednesday night is even though he wants to protect us, and he is protecting us, one way he protects us, Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. One way he protects us is he leads us and he guides us. And sometimes he, you know, tells us not to do something. We get checks. I've told people, because I fly a lot, but I've told people, if I don't feel that I should get on an airplane, I'm not getting on an airplane. Why am I not getting on an airplane? Because I had a check about it. Well, what if that airplane lands? I missed it, sorry. But I lived. I might have waited in the airport a little longer, but I'm still alive. You know, if I have a check about anything, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because I believe that one way he leads and guides us, one way he protects us, is from telling us not to go. Now, you know, I don't know what you read into it, because, you know, I know kids don't like to go to school, all right? But one of the little girls said she begged her parents not to let her go to school that day. Now, I don't know if she got something on the, or what, you know, and I get it. I mean, you know, if I was a kid, I would use that every day. Well, I just don't feel led to go to school today. In fact, some Rhema students actually use that excuse. You can ask Pastor Tad. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, I didn't feel led to come to your class today. Sorry. I will go on record, when I was a Rhema student, a couple classes I didn't feel led to go to myself. You know. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You know, the thing about it is God protects us. And it's important. I know, I remember my dad and I, when I was younger, and actually for a long time, we used to ride off-road motorcycles. And there was once, and we would go with a group of other gentlemen. And there was one Saturday, we woke up to go riding, and we would always meet at a breakfast place, and then we'd head out. And my mom just really felt a check about us going. So we didn't go. You know, my dad comes and says, Craig, we're going to go to breakfast with all the guys, but we're not going to go riding because your mom just has a check about it. So we didn't go. Now, did anything happen to anybody else? Nope. Nope, nothing happened to anyone else. But I don't know. We could have gotten the wreck on the way there. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. The thing is, I'm still alive today. You know, so don't override, you know, checks. I know my wife talks about an experience that happened to her in her life, a tragic thing that happened. And so even at that point in time, she says, you know, I wasn't where I needed to be with God. You know, I grew up in church and I kind of was not really going to church. But I had a tragic situation happen to me. But she says, Craig, you know what? 3 times on my way there, I kept filling a check. I shouldn't go. I shouldn't go. I shouldn't go. So see, I don't care where you're at. God wants to protect you. And you know, he will help us. And he will protect us. But one way he leads us and guides us by telling us not to do this. And I gave an example on Wednesday, I'll give it again, about a gentleman that was on his way to work at the World Trade Center on 9/11. And something on the inside says, stop and get some coffee or some breakfast or donuts or something. I can't remember what it was. And he's like, but I'm going to be late for work. But he says he kept feeling that he needed to stop. And I think it was a donut store or something like that. You know, there's sometimes, I'm sure some of you get the leading of the Lord. Well, I might be late, but I need to go by Starbucks. Anyway, The point being is while he was driving down the road on the way to work, because he stopped, instead of being there in the building, he watched it tumble while he was driving on the way there. Now, a lot of people thought he was at work and they begin to, you know, call him. But you know what? Thank God that he stopped. I mean, he was a member of one of our Rhema churches there. That's how I got to heard the testimony. You know, we need to learn to follow the inward witness. And, you know, like I said, you know, just if you feel a check, don't do it. He said, well, I don't know why I feel a check. It doesn't matter. Even if you miss it, hey, as long as you're alive, it doesn't really matter. I mean, there has been times I just feel, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go. You know, I shouldn't go. I don't know. I just don't feel a peace about it. Well, that's one way he protects us. Maybe it's some of your bodyguards tapping you on the shoulder and telling you, hey, just don't go. You know, bodyguards talking about your angels. I don't know, but there's checks sometimes. Has anyone ever had one of those checks? Has anyone ever overridden one of those checks? I have. But I decided that, hey, the day and age we live in, I'm not going to override any check. You know, I'm gonna be led by the Spirit of God. You know, there's one thing about being at the right place at the right time, and there's also a thing about being at the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm not gonna be at the wrong place at the wrong time. All right, I'm gonna be at the right place at the right time. And I know who's my protector. I know the Lord is protecting me, and I know he wants to protect me, and I claim the 91st Psalm over my life each and every day. But not only over my life, over each and every one of my kids, each and every one of my grandkids. I know that my parents, I mean, I do this sometimes, I'm not diligent of it. But my parents, every day, they name Saul. They actually, you know, claim the 91st Psalm, and they go down the list. And they have to keep going because they keep having more grandkids. But anyway, but, you know, I think we should be that diligent in our life. But you know what? If we don't know what the 91st Psalm says, we can't claim it. So one of the things I'm most grateful for, and I didn't say it on Mother's Day, was that my mom taught me the 91st Psalm. And it's something that I use every day, and it's something that I have knowledge of. It's great when there's something you use on a daily basis. And this is something I use on a daily basis. I'm always mindful of my guardians around about me. I'm always mindful that my God protects me. And so some people wonder, you know, Craig, why don't you get worried? Because I know my God. I know he's leading and guiding me. I know he's protecting me. I know he's helping me in every situation. And I believe the Bible when it says that 1,000 may fall to one side and 10,000 to the other, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling place, according to the King James Version. Because that's the way I learned it, you know. And so, you know what? I know he's protected me at all times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, that each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online, Father, will always remember that the 91st Psalm is there for them to protect them, to help them in every situation that they'll ever face, whether it be a physical, a financial, emotional, whatever situation it might be. We thank you that you're ever protecting us from any kind of situation, Father. And Father God, we just thank you to help each and every one of these to claim the 91st Psalm over their life and their family's life each and every day. And we just thank you, Father, to help us to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer only. But Father, we thank you that whenever situations and circumstances come, that we won't have fear, but we'll have faith and be able to stand in the midst of the enemy, confident that you are our protector, you are our shelter and our shield and our armor, and that your angels are encompassed all around us, protecting us from every situation. We come against any kind of physical situation, we come against any kind of disease, any attack from the devil, no matter what it might be, we just thank you for it now. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, we thank you, Father, if there be anyone in this room today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the knowledge, the saving knowledge of you, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed around this auditorium, if you're here today and you says, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to today, just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back and went away, and I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life to God today. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want anybody to miss out. Or maybe you haven't had what my grandfather called a no-so experience. You've been in church all your life, but you don't know whether you've ever been saved or not. Well, today you can know. You can ask the Lord to come into your heart. If that's you on any invitation across this room, if you need to get saved, or if you want to rededicate your life to God, or you don't know, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. I realize that most of you probably are saved. Maybe everyone in this room is saved. But I always want to give you that chance. Father God, we thank you right now for each and every person that's in this room. And we thank you if anyone is here that is not saved. We thank you for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.